As I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, the fourth Sunday of Easter is called Good Shepherd Sunday. Every year we hear a part of the Gospel of John in which our Lord reveals himself as the Good Shepherd. This Sunday is also often called Priesthood Sunday because we are reminded that our Lord chose that he would continue to shepherd his church until the end of time in a particular way in and through the priesthood. And we see this going all the way back to the beginning. You remember after the resurrection, and our Lord is with Peter, and he says, "Peter, do you love me?" And he says, "If so, tend my sheep." "Peter, do you love me? If so, feed my lambs. I invite you into my shepherding," as our Lord does with every priest all down through the ages. And what had happened to Peter? How did Peter's life come to a close? There's the ancient tradition that there was a huge persecution in Rome, and Peter decided he better flee town so that he could come back and continue to watch over God's sheep. So he's on his way out of the city of Rome, and he gets out the outer walls. And as he departs, all of a sudden he sees our Lord walking back into the city, passing right by him. And Peter says, "Lord, where are you going?" And he says, "I'm going back to give my life anew for my people." And in that moment, Peter realized it wasn't saving his life that would be best for the church. It would be losing his life for the sake of the church. Our Lord says, "A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep." And any priest, his value in his vocation comes from the degree to which he lays down his life. I immediately thought of Maximilian Kolbe reflecting on this. And everybody knows the story of Maximilian Kolbe in Auschwitz going to the death chamber in place of a married man and a father. But people seldom realize that that's the way he lived out his entire priesthood. And there's a story when he was the superior of the largest monastery, I think, in the history of the church, 700 friars. He became very sick. Actually, they thought he was deathly ill. So some of the friars put a note on his door saying, you know, "Leave Father Maximilian alone." Well, he finds the note and he calls those friars to his room and he says, "Please take this away." He says, "And I want you to let the brothers know that I am available any hour, day and night, always. I belong to them." I thought of Monsignor Kavanaugh. And I don't know, maybe everybody here knows who Monsignor Kavanaugh is. He was, for over 60 years, the pastor of St. Rose Parish on Franklin Boulevard. I think he might have the longest pastorship of any priest in the history of the church. Right, over 60 years. Well, he is right now, he's in Mercy McMahon Center care facility, and he's on his deathbed. If we went and saw him right now, you would see he's lying flat, and he's no longer able to stand up. He's 91 years old. But you know what he would say to us if we walked in right now? And I mean this literally because he said it to numerous people. "When are they going to let me out of here so I can go serve my flock?" Monsignor Kavanaugh, before I was ordained, a deacon, and I was the chaplain at Sutter Hospital downtown. And over the course of a year, I'd go into rooms, and I was dressed as a priest. I was in clerical attire as a deacon. And I would go into rooms, and every once in a while, someone would say, "Oh, hey, Father, do you know Father Murphy? Do you know Father Sullivan? Oh, hey, do you know Father John?" Do you know how many times I heard someone say, "Do you know Monsignor Kavanaugh?" Almost every single day. And they would say things that, actually right now, tears come to my eyes. They would say things like, "Father Monsignor Kavanaugh, he got me off the streets and he saved my life. When I got out of prison, he found a job for me. I would never have had a wife and children without him. When my husband left us, he found a home for me and my kids. We couldn't afford Catholic high school. He not only got our sons into Christian Brothers, he paid for it himself." A good friend of mine, Father Libby, we were classmates in Rome. I saw him a couple of years ago, and it was right around Christmas time. We got together after Christmas. And I shared with him that we have perpetual adoration in my church. You know, it's such a great thing. And he said, "Oh my gosh, you know what? I just started the same." And I looked at him because his parish is less than half the size of ours. He has 400 parishioners. Now, to cover perpetual adoration, that's 168 hours a week. So I'm like, you got your tiny little parish to do that? I said, how are you covering the nighttime hours? You know, who covers from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock? And he dropped his head because he wasn't expecting the question. And he said, well, I had signups for 2 weeks. Nobody took those hours. So I felt like our Lord was asking me to make a sacrifice for my parishioners. So I get up every day and pray from 2 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I spend that time with our Lord and I offer it for my parish. A good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. Now I want to share something that I think, at least in modern times, has almost been totally forgotten. And that is, what is arguably the primary source of a priest's strength to lay down his life for his parish? I would say it is his celibacy. I remember I had a religious sister one time. She shared with me when she started to think about entering the convent. She said she went and she saw her spiritual director and she said, Father, you know, how does a woman know if she's called to be a sister or not? And he said, well, I would say this, you have to have a big heart that wants to pour itself out in love. But also, there ought to be a strong desire to be a wife and a mother. If a woman does not have that desire, she should never become a sister. My brothers and sisters, I would say if a man does not have a desire to be a husband and a father, he should never enter the seminary. And it ought to be a strong desire because it's that sacrifice that brings efficacy to his priesthood. In order to be able to truly lay down his life, he sacrifices two incredibly great goods, fatherhood and spousal relationship. If a man would not make a good husband and father, he should never be a priest. Because it's those skills, those graces on a natural level that make a good husband and a good father, that when perfected by grace, make a great priest. The best priests would be the best husbands and fathers. I want to close with this. Where does a priestly vocation come from? 95% come from good families. 95% come from young men who see in their moms and their dads people who are laying down their lives for the sake of their children. And they're so drawn to that, it attracts them and they feel called to do the same. And it's so beautiful on the day of ordination, when a priest, he lays down, he prostrates himself in the form of a cross. You know, he's dying to the world to give himself for the salvation of souls. Immediately afterwards, he goes and he kneels down before the bishop and he puts out his hands. And the bishop takes sacred chrism and he anoints his hands completely. I mean, he lathers your hands up. And it's lathered up for works of charity. Your hands are consecrated to do Christ's work of love in the world, especially celebrating the sacraments. And immediately afterwards, you go to the side and there's a little cloth. It's called a maniturgium. And it's that which you use to cleanse and purify your hands. The next day at your first Mass, the sacrament of love, which you can now celebrate because your hands have been anointed. After that Mass, you invite your mom forward and you take that cloth that is a sign of the works of charity that you will perform and you give it to your mom because it's in and through your mom that you first learned how to love. And then you call forward your father and you give your dad the stole that you wore to hear your first confession. Because it's in and through your dad that you learned justice tempered by mercy. And your mom and your dad are buried with those sacred articles so that when they go before God symbolically, they can say, I gave my son for you, for the building up of your church. My brothers and sisters, it is so crucial that we be people who encourage priestly vocations, and especially in your own homes.
I can't tell you how many times I've met good, faithful Catholics. They say, "Oh yeah, Father, you know, we need more priests. There's a shortage. I'm praying. Well, God will send us more priests, but not my son, right?" Would you make that sacrifice? Do you realize what an incredible honor it is to be called to give your son, your grandson, your nephew in that way? On this Priesthood Sunday, Good Shepherd Sunday, let us remember the priests who have served us. And let's also pray that God raises many priests to the altar from Presentation Parish.